In this week, on the 22nd of November 2002, a police helicopter and 30 officers were called to a normally quiet Oxfordshire backwater to restore order after trouble flared during the Dons Combined Counties League game with AFC Wallingford. A group unconnected with either team started taunting the Don supporters. By the time calm had been established, AFC Wimbledon, who had now had Joe Sheeran sent off, found themselves on the wrong end of a 3-0 scoreline. Yes. Being on the wrong end of a scoreline is something, unfortunately, we've got used to over the last couple of weeks. Anyhow, with the Samuel Wombles, like a helicopter, we're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go on.
Hello, 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 dear listener. Welcome to Say What Wombles podcast. Today with a full house. I am joined by my friend Niall Cooper. Hello, Niall.
Hello, Matthew.
And that's the tone. I'm joined by our wonderful producer, the man with the buttons, Dr. Professor Adam Proctor. Hello, Adam. How are you?
I'm not as depressed as Niall.
And our man with all the footballing knowledge, who can tell a 4-4-2 from a 3-5-2 from a whatever it is, from a distance of 100 yards, it's our man, Mr. Tall Mark Lewis. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening. I'm doing all right, actually, for a slightly frostier Monday than last week. I can tell we were playing with back four because Ogs was being roasted for most of Saturday's game, unfortunately. Much as we love Ogs, he's not necessarily on his most rich vein of form right now, which we'll touch on later, I'm sure.
He was definitely getting roasted.
We might touch on it sooner than later than now. I mean, it was a weird one, I think, for all of us, because.
What about Adam?
What
about Adam?
What, it wasn't weird for Adam?
No, as in you haven't introduced Adam properly yet.
No, he did. He did.
Oh my giddy aunt! No,
I mean, I was doing three jobs at once. That's what's happening.
Do you know what it is? Yeah, exactly.
Adam's the man that forgot the klaxon button last week.
Do you know what it
is? I didn't have time to add the klaxon.
Do you know what it is, dear listener? I've just got to tell you this thing before you've just started listening. More friend who pays utter attention to the podcast is present. In actual fact, there's one thing you can't say about my brother: it's how present he is. So he's doing at least two or three things at the same time as trying to be a guest on the podcast.
What he's not doing is paying attention to this podcast.
He's not paying attention to anything that we're saying.
We did ask him to close the tabs as well. We said close the tabs.
And so, yeah, anyhow.
Children don't listen though, do they? You know?
All right, Nye. You got to listen to us
Sorry.
Now.
I am a million miles away. You're totally right. There's a lot of things happening in my
Dear listener, Nye looked a little tired. Did anyone think he was involved in like something to do with a football regulator?
Oh, dear me.
Or a budget or something, I don't know.
If you did, there was a press release that just went out about that. It's very unexciting. It's very exciting. It was just saying. Anyways, whatever. More important things to talk about, which is the form of Ox. So apology, dear listener. I'm, in fact, being rubbish. And this will probably be, you know, whatever, the most important part.
It's a good thing, neither you mentioned apologies, because I think that yet again, We need to turn to our friend, the producer, who I introduced earlier, our man with the buttons, Dr. Adam Proctor. Now, Adam, every single time you do this, we always get some listener who comes in and chucks something in. So people last week will remember that this is your favourite topic about being fan-owned, and you say you'd rather be back in non-league. And so we all have to say, we don't want to be in non-league. Do we? No, we don't want to get relegated. We don't want to be in non-league.
Correct.
Adam is not the position of the same old Wombles. He's one of the contributors. What he says is not what everyone else thinks. Adam, have you got anything to say in your defence?
Oh, my word. No, I don't. I mean, the thing, I think, Yeah, I mean, we talked about last week that it would be a soundbite. Surprise, surprise, it turned up on the old X Twitter machine, which is rather amusing. At least that someone who totally disagrees with me is prepared to listen to our podcast. So
But
that's
he also then
nice.
said that we all said the same thing, which we didn't.
No, which we
No, we
didn't.
didn't. Yeah. So,
I mean, that
any,
was one thing I
so.
did try and clarify. I think that was one thing I tried to clarify is that we have a bunch of nuances and we have some differences of opinion. But one thing I think, and I'm sure we'll come back to this, one thing that I think we're all pretty clear on is that fan ownership is something that makes Wimbledon unique and something that we want to ensure we hold on to. We just have differences in terms of how we kind of approach that. I think me and Niall are very close in a number of ways, but we obviously disagree. But I think that's good. I mean, that's the point. But what we don't disagree with is fan ownership.
But I think we do dis we do we do also agree that we want to stay in League One, don't we? Or at least the
Indeed.
Football League, don't we? I
Listen,
do.
I want to stay in the highest league possible, but I don't want that to be to the disadvantage of losing fan ownership. So I will still take a
No,
hit.
no, 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 no.
Mate, can I segue back to football for a change?
Oh,
As in
what?
football on the
Really?
pitch.
Anyhow, well, that's a half apology, dear listener, from Adam. And
I have to
hopefully
give a
it's
full
cleared
apology.
everything up. It's
I have to give a
cleared
full
everything.
apology, actually.
Yeah.
This was almost like predestined, so to speak. So this is a shout out and apology at the same time. And a
Oh,
shout.
flipping it, a shout out. I thought we'd stop shout outs.
No reason to, because that means we get more listeners.
Really?
The
We want
shout
more than
out,
five?
absolutely. Six or seven. Just six or seven. The shout out is to a guy called John Giddins, who used to be part of Carlton Further FC, who I played Sunday League football with a long time ago, who I then ran into at my local gym on Saturday morning, in fact. While he was properly pumping iron, and I was trying to sort of imitate that I knew what the machines did. And he said, "What do you think about today's game?" And I said, "Look, John, I'm just being honest and straightforward. Here's something I read on X this morning, which is completely true. I read this on X on Saturday morning, that in advance of that game, and I wasn't the only one that pointed this out. Other people pointed this out as well. In advance of Saturday's game, we're going to have drawn three and lost five away games, and 1-0." And he said, "It's your fault. It's your fault. I'm going to blame you." It's like, well, I'm sorry, John, but it wasn't me that came up with that information. I just saw the information. I just told him that. But I'm apologising on behalf of, well, whoever.
I don't know, the football gods
The football gods,
who seem to
frankly.
take,
Because John
yeah,
said he would blame
protectors.
me. So John's obviously blaming me. But actually, it's not me to blame. It's the complete lack of people to actually make three different individual challenges. Frankly, I'm
Well,
beginning to actually see Jackson being honest and forthright and really quite frankly pissed off, especially at the second goal, and I can completely understand why.
but I think the thing was it, we were. It was like, I'm not walking away from that game thinking we should have got something from it. I mean, obviously you go one up, you think you can hold on, but that would have been, it would have been daylight robbery. I think I'd have really liked JJ to have come out and said, the truth is we should have been four down at half time, or we could have easily
Yeah.
been four down at half time, because they missed a hatful of chances. So I can understand why up until this point, Wigan have lost or not all those games away. They probably got those chances and done exactly the same. I mean, the one where the balls come in, the first one, the balls come over to the end of the box, and there's a man like 2 yards out and puts it past the post. There's another one, and I thought, you see, this is for me, but I thought Ox had done brilliantly. He's come back across and stopped a certain goal going in. He did brilliantly there, but they wasted a hatful of chances. It was incredible, and then to go one up. And I really thought maybe this is our time where against the run of play, we get a scruffy goal, and we see it out. But then, I mean, I didn't see what led to the free kick. And I'm
It
sure we're
wasn't a
all,
free kick, seems
I'm
to be the
sh
general
yeah,
consensus.
I'm sure the opinion of all us Wimbledon fans is that it wasn't a free kick.
I don't think it was a free kick, but it was a great, I mean, there was a great free
But I
kick
am,
from that
but
guy,
no, but
but
I am also saying that you're a Wimbledon fan. So when I said from a Wimbledon fan, we all think it's not a free kick. I'm assuming that you are a Wimbledon fan.
no,
indeed,
but
indeed, you're correct.
No, you are
But
correct, but what I'm saying is it wasn't a free kick, irrespective of being a Wimbledon fan, for sure.
yeah, I
I
know.
think
I'm a
that
free.
we have to give deference to Harrison
No.
Bitoni, because that was genuinely his first touch in league football.
No, okay. We don't have
that
to give any credit to
that. Free kick was the first touch in league football.
We don't give, we'd never give credit to the opposition.
We know, Mark. It's that's all, that's on the internet. Other people can find that out in their own.
You read these, you read these stats, and frankly, I think the stats, whether or not it's an opposition player or our player, the stats serve.
What's going to happen now is the bit that you can edit out, because Mark's going to tell you about the stats of an opposing player.
No. We're not having it.
No, I'm not. You don't want me to. You don't want me to.
No, we don't care.
All he's
going to
mention is the guy had two shots, scored two goals in 12 minutes, and apparently had hardly any, misplaced any passes, and now considered to be the next one to kill.
It was a very good goal.
And we're going to edit that out.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
exactly.
The point.
I was going to say the other thing that was like we need to. So I brought my future son-in-law along. He's now referring to Wimbledon as we. Excellent. It's all good.
Is he discerning Southampton?
Yeah. No, he's. Well,
he didn't know how to play football on Saturday.
No. Exactly. No, he didn't. He hadn't really picked any club really until this point. So now we are the club. But of course, on the way home on the train, he was like, "Oh, it's been a really great day out." I was like, "No." You've got it wrong. It's a great day out if we win. It's a really bad day out if we don't. So, you know, I'm working on that. So, yeah.
That sounds to me like he's a bit of, at the moment anyway, he's a bit of a two-club wanker, you know.
He doesn't have another club. No.
How was it a good day out then? Your train was cancelled on the way up. We got all that information as normal.
Yeah.
Just about got there in time for kickoff. Didn't get enough beers. And we lost.
I think it was a good day out because he spent the day with my daughter, basically.
Well, that's fair enough if he's engaged to her.
I think that's the thing.
But the first half, let's talk about the first half, for goodness sake. Like, it was so rubbish, and they could have scored so many goals that I don't know what was going on. Like, Ox got overrun everywhere. Orsi didn't do anything, from what I could tell. It was a weird 4-1-4-1. I don't even know what the blimmin'. I don't even know what was going on with the setup.
If you're playing one up front, you don't play Orsi.
Well,
even
I'm sorry.
Hold on. You can edit that comment. Can I come back, Matt? You can edit that comment. You said, even if you play one up front, you shouldn't play Orsi. You didn't need the start of that sentence, did you, really?
Yeah.
No, you just needed the end bit, which is you shouldn't play Orsi. And that would be it, full stop.
I mean,
maybe
again,
a capital letter for the Y, and that would be it.
I think
sentence, job done.
He's not endeared himself to us at all here on the Sable Wombles. And I think for a lot of other people, you can hear the criticism going around all around the stadium. He's not doing himself any favours. But he's, as far as I can see, he wants to be that sort of fox in the box type person. So the ball drops down in the box and he gets a finishing touch on it, whatever it is. He can't hold the ball up. The amount of times the ball's come up to him, it just bounces up him. He's not one who's going to knock a ball back and then run in behind. He's not going to knock a ball and run like Max Stevens did against Salford last season. He's not that sort of player. He's hardly even going to challenge for a ball in the box, like to win it, to put a header in. So all it is like just about being in the right place at the right time. And we are not creating those sort of chances. He's not a Wimbledon player, unfortunately, because that's not how we create things. And the fact that he still doesn't come out and say anything, which is anti-franchise, I think that's a real, you know. And he's, what's he on, a 2.5-year contract?
Yeah, I'm guessing he's not one of the seven listeners. Otherwise, he would have worked it out by now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on. It really needs to...
Crumps, if any of the players actually listen to this podcast, we need them to tell us.
Then they need the head sing too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm sure no players should be listening to it. But I think that he needs to go out alone. I mean, it's like that we need to get, hopefully, Foyo back. And get him out on loan. And talking of loan people, obviously, you know, there's a whole clamour for getting Kai Jennings back. Can I rewind briefly
before we talk about Jennings? So we recorded last week just before the Dolls Trust SGM, which turned into a very damp squib. My understanding is they were ready to answer loads of questions. No one asked them any questions. So I don't think you can criticise the board for not asking any questions if they're the one asking.
Yeah, Mark. Mark, mate, you can't put a statement out like they put a statement out saying about how the finance is all over the place, and then just sit back and expect the supporters to ask a question, because there's a whole agenda there that they've gone through, and it's like it gets to, and I think some people did ask the questions. I was listening, but
Not
I'm
about
sure some
finance, I
people asked.
didn't. I was in the
But it
room.
was just,
Nobody asked
but it
anything
was
about
just,
finance.
but it's just, but it's just like you, because you expect the board to come and say something
Well,
to make, you
what are
can't
they going to say apart from the statement they've already made?
make the statement
I'm not
because
defending anyone. I'm just saying
the.
genuinely what would we want them to have said?
Because I think they could have clarified that statement. So my understanding of the statement was that it was just to reaffirm the situation that not much has changed. What they're doing is they're preparing for a 50 plus one vote. That's what they're doing. So all the time they put these statements out, they're preparing for a 50 plus one. So people keep going, oh, yeah, we've got to go 50 plus one. That's what this is. But it felt a lot like scaremongering to me. And I think they could have. I think that it wasn't responsibility of those in the room. It was responsibility of the DTB. If you're putting a statement out like that, it's the responsibility of the DTB to then clarify that situation. I don't
That's
think
fair enough.
I
Yeah.
don't think you wait. I don't think you wait for a question from the floor. That's
The other
a
thing
cop out, in my opinion.
the other thing really got me, because I was talking a lot. I was at the Sports Business Awards. I was really lucky. So I've got DLAC invited me along for that. And I was lucky to go. And I was having a lot of conversation with a lot of Wimbledon fans that were there. And one of the things that came out of that was that, right, once you've sold down to 50 plus one, that's it, you know. And if you put that investment into players' wages, that is an utter waste of that money. So if you're going to sell down, which I'm opposed to, as you'll know, then I think that that money has to go on infrastructure, has to go on to building a stadium, something that's long-term sustainable. I do not advocate for that money going on players' wages, because that's short-term and you're only going to need to the same level of players' wages the next time around. So it doesn't work. Equally, and I still get this, as far as I'm aware, we still have 83% ownership. So there's still 8% that we've never sold, right? Down to 75. So until somebody can say, right, we've sold that 8%, I don't think we should even have a conversation about the other 25% that's on top of that. So sell that 8%, then come talk to us again.
Well,
And
I
that's where
think
I'm at.
there's several things, Nye, with this that you're saying. I think the first thing is it's probably easier to sell more than it is to sell less. Some people might be more interested in buying more than they are just having eight. So I think that that's one thing. But I mean, but I agree. I think we all agree, and we said this last week, is that if you're going to sell down to 50 plus one, you put it into infrastructure, or you clear the debt. It's got to be one of those things, because if you put it into investment into the squad, in wages or whatever, it is gone. And like you say, once it's gone, it's gone. So I think that we need to be. So if people are thinking that we need to do that, then I think the DTB have to be very clear on what that money will be used for. If it's used for squad enhancement, then I think that that's gonna be a waste. Because the truth is, if you get infrastructure, you get more supporters going in, and that gives you more revenue. If you pay off the debt, then you've got more things to play with. Mark.
If you pay off the debt, theoretically speaking, you're not servicing the 400,000 plus interest, and
Yeah,
therefore that money
exactly.
can go into either infrastructure or into playing
Yeah.
budget. Yeah, and there's loads of different theories, but I think you're completely right. Before there would be any vote, whatever the vote would be, clarity has to be given to everybody. This is what I was trying to explain rather ham-fistedly on last week's pod. So that everybody, whichever side of the angle they're at, side of the argument they're on, has enough information at their disposal, and they're not just voting from an emotive place, they're voting from an informed place, about what they want to do, why they want to do it, and what the benefits or drawbacks would be of them doing it, so to speak. I actually wanted to really quickly mention what even happened before the DTB meeting, which kind of got overlooked because Craig is such a good orator, but there was a preamble between, I don't think this was actually broadcast, so and I was in the room for this. It was an interview between Maddie Sweetman of the Foundation and Craig Cope. Again, just talking about Craig Cope's background and what he loved about being at Wimbledon. Maddie was quite good and quite quite cunning, I thought, in that she basically said, look, everyone else has signed a contract. Johnny signed a contract, so has Terry, so has Dave. Where's yours, Craig? To which he's very straightforward. He said, you know, he definitely doesn't think, he thinks he's got a lot more to that he wants to achieve at Wimbledon, which is really positive to hear. But what he did then say, which I think has kind of gone unreported, that I've seen anyway, was that he knows already that the only wriggle room he has in January is to move people out to be able to move people in. In other words, he hasn't got, you know, a magic money tree to his Theresa May style to be able to find appropriate resources for squad strengthening, which we know we need already, and therefore to do so or to find any room to do so, he's going to need to, you know, shuffle the pack of cards that he's got already, which could mean, I don't know what it would mean. Could it mean Froyo for the rest of the season? Could it mean Kelly staying out on loan? Could it mean, I don't know who'd take him, but could it mean Orsi going out on loan and Kelly coming back? I suspect Orsi's more expensive than Kelly, so you'd have to fund his wages there, which is, you know, something the Premier League clubs do, which we obviously would be loath to want to do. But just to come right back to where Matt was, could it mean Kai Jennings come back into the first team squad? I think right now all of us are seeing everything that he's doing at Sutton in the conference, two levels below us, but he is putting up some trees there.
But hey, Gateshead, 2 years.
Gateshead, who can't win a game and have been absolutely plummeting like a stone since they beat us.
I mean, I just think it's. I mean, I think the trouble is, does Kai Jennings, is there a position there that he fills that we don't have? Because I think
Yes.
he plays, but does he play in a Hippolyte or Brown role?
No.
Isn't that more?
I think
Isn't that more his
he puts
position?
pressure on Smith or Reeves. I
Yeah.
think Reeves can play, as we know, only in one position. And the frustration was definitely coming onto Reeves more and more on Saturday because he was just shifting the ball around Didier Deschamps, Ray Wilkins, water carrier style, when you needed someone to actually grab the bull by the horns and actually step up. To be fair to Alistair Smith, he did make that run into the box, as he was doing towards the end of last season. But when Reeves was injured this time last year, it was Smith that dropped back into the six role, into the holding midfield role. And I can't remember who else then came in. Jimmy Makel came into
Yeah.
centre mid. I think Jennings could come into that role, actually making those runs, getting shots off in and around the box, which Smith hasn't done very much of this season.
Yeah.
And Smith could be that much deeper. And physically, we know he's actually strong enough. And certainly based on current performances, he's got a more solid engine on him, as they say, than Reeves has.
Yeah. I mean, it just. Well, let's tidy up the weekend game because, you know, dear listener, you know how we like to work. We like to move about a little bit. We don't have like one subject we stick to. We like to have all subjects interlinked in
We are
some weird
slightly
and
bouncing
wonderful.
around at the moment, more
Oh,
than normal.
man. I know it's more than
Same old
normal, but we
Warmwood,
like
bounce
to
around,
so
bounce around,
so
bounce around.
that's what we do. We like to bounce around between topics. But anyhow, let's wrap. I'm just wrapping up the final bit of the week. You know, good goal by Smith. I'm just wondering how on a football, how do we come back from here? What do we need to do? Have we been found out playing 3-5-2, which is why JJ's moved to this 4-4-1-4-1 system? I mean, what changes do we need to make? Obviously, you know, we can forget there needs to be a real change up front, which I don't think we're going to be able to do until Stevens is fit. So that means it's going to be, you know. Potentially Bugle and Brown. He's done that before.
Start with a more upfront first 45. Swap it around. Don't be bringing on a Simway, Hatford, and Bugle for the second. Bring them on at the beginning and
But
swap them later.
Bugle was not
No, I know, I
Bugle
get that.
Jack.
Yeah, of
Right.
course,
So
yeah. But what I'm saying is that's what we should do.
I looked at the team, and we talked about it afterwards, Matt. And I would say there are three of our key players that look knackered, right? And I would say that's Lewis, Reeves, and Bugle look knackered. And having those three players not fully at the races is a huge detriment to us because they are the backbone of our team, and they're not
But
performing at the
Lewis and
moment.
Reeves,
And
okay, Lewis was
my sense
injured.
is that
Reeves has had time off, you know, in a sense.
my sense is that all three of them, like, just You know, I need to be putting cotton wool or something like that, because at the moment they just look exhausted, and it's really obvious they are not performing as they were at the start of the season. And they are the linchpin of the team. Everything else hangs off them, and they're not at the races. Also, I'd say I wasn't that impressed with Hippolyte, and Hippolyte has been man of the match a couple of times. So we've got another player there that's underperforming, but it's those three that are my biggest concern. Obviously, the absence of Stevens as well, because you know we all know what I think about the horse.
Well, we all think the same, pretty much. Mark, what's your thoughts? Yeah, you at least you.
I'm looking at a program, and I'm looking at a program listing out the last five home games from the end of September. Wycombe Wanderers, which I missed because I was on the flight to Venice. We were 2-0 up at half time. Really strong first half, blew them away. And from what I understand, really poor second half. Wycombe came right back into it, and since then, Wycombe were extremely good actually. But we hung on for that 2-1 win. Since then, Port Vale, which was two dire teams together. Burton, that was a 1-1 draw. Burton, which was two dire teams together. But again, Burton hung on for the win. And since then, they've done rather well. Gateshead, we know we lost 2-0. And Wigan Saturday, we lost 2-1. So, first of all, we haven't won at home since the end of September. So that's 2 months. Second of all, the common theme for all of those, echoing exactly what Adam says, is how are we starting games? How are we starting games? We're just not starting them with any particular panache. I remember going to Doncaster away, which was the week before Wickham, 20th of September. And that was a miserable day, first kind of autumnal, miserable day, wet. And we just dug in and we dogged it out. We let a goal in, but we actually had the resilience to come back, nab a couple of goals. Johnson got one from a header. And we won the game. But since then, we just seem to be on the back foot from the start, which makes us relatively easy to scout because people are like, get into them, as they say, which is exactly what Wigan did on Saturday. Yes, they didn't finish their chances and could have comfortably been 3 or 4 up in 20 minutes. But even though they weren't, they still had the confidence to know, well, we can still come at them and we'll get somewhere. And they threw a big lad up front and he had nothing to lose. Three missed challenges, and that second goal was in there, and we had nothing left because I think we assumed, both the crowd and the players, that once we were 1-0 up, we would win the game. Why Simway is not starting, I don't know. There was a theory, I have no idea what it's based on,
This is
started by
mine.
someone
This
in
is
this group, Mr. Matt, I
my
believe.
conspiracy theory.
Carry
And
on.
my conspiracy theory is that Asenway has been he's going back to Charlton, and then either he's going to stay there or he's going to be moved on higher up the league. That's my sense. And he's trying to bed Sasu in into that role. And I mean,
Except he didn't play him. He didn't play him right wing back. He played him right wing. But poor
Yeah.
Sasu doesn't seem to know
I mean, he's
which
again.
way's up. Is he a winger? Is he a wing back? Is he a centre forward? What is he? What's he required to do? Even if he was a winger, he wasn't tracking back appropriately, as you're supposed to do to back up your fullback. Hence the fact that Ogs was being roasted on toast on Saturday.
Yeah. Anyhow, guys, it's a difficult one. So basically, what we're saying is we need to. Well, obviously. It was an unusual one. He will start Bugle, and I'm assuming that in our next game he will start with Bugle and Brown up front, and Asenway as wing back. I assume that those are the changes that will be made. And as for options off the bench, hopefully it's Hackford, but yeah. Anyhow, let's put an end to the misery of that particular game. I have to say, at the moment, I'm dreading what we're going to talk about on the podcast next Monday. And matter of fact, Niall and I are off to Huddersfield. We're off up there this weekend. So,
It could be worse. You could be a Man U fan who are currently playing against 10 men at home to Everton after Everton had a man sent off for slapping his own teammate, and Everton are winning 1-0. Yeah, you heard me correctly. Check it out.
You got sent off for slapping his own teammate.
Is
that
Correct.
even a thing that like
Lee Bowyer
Yeah.
and Kieran Dyer
It's the
style
Woodgate.
for those of us with it wasn't Woodgate, it was Bowyer and Kieran Dyer. For those
Was
of us
it?
with old enough memories.
Wow.
Okay.
Or with any memory at all, to be honest with you. Oh, excellent. Right, okay then, chats. Well, let's move. And naturally what happens is you go on to a bad run of form and the same old comes up. I'm interested to know, like, Port Vale at the moment, currently sitting bottom of the table. And then there are, the sides at the near the bottom of League Two. What their thoughts are? Because, are they saying they sacked the manager? Are they saying they sacked their board? Are they saying that they need someone to sell the club to someone else? Because when everything happens to us, the immediate reaction is, well, from certain people. And I've got to say, I do not think this is the voice of the whole fan base, but from certain loud people, it's sell the club.
To answer that one specifically with Port Vale and Plymouth, for example, Plymouth have just appointed Derek Adams, who was manager when we beat them in the playoff final many years ago, as their director of football. So that seems to have placated the fans and calmed everybody down because they all seem to think that Cleverley was totally out of his depth. Port Vale are definitely have got the knives out for Darren Moore in particular, because the thing is Darren Moore took them down once and brought them back up again, but he did get them relegated out of League One once as well. And actually, this is, I think, a relatively sensible sanity check that all of us as Wimbledon fans should take. Look at how we're getting on. Look at how Doncaster are getting on, who have fallen off a cliff since we beat them at Doncaster. And actually, Bradford, although they started the season on fire, are dropping off gradually as we are right now as well. And as we said, Port Vale are bottom. In other words, none of the four teams that came up are ripping up this division by any means. And all of them have considerably larger resources than we do. And certainly Bradford have larger resources, as we know, because they were able to pick up. To pick up
One of our, one, an ex player,
an
sorry, I
ex-player of
mean,
ours, who's
Hursfield.
I'm not allowed to mention, you know.
It was Reeves, wasn't it, at one point?
So how much are we
But
supposedly losing per season at the moment? What have we actually
it's about
said?
1.5, 2 million.
Right, and so quick search is Plymouth and Port Vale are losing 3 to 3.4 million a year,
But
and
this is the thing. This is
supposedly
this
they've
was
got
the.
like these wonderful owners.
But this is the issue. Or
But the thing,
Niall will come
actually,
into this. Niall will come into this. Yeah.
so actually, on that is that the average in League One is around five, and it's expected to go to seven. So, and when you're looking at financial health of clubs in League One,
5 million losses per season.
yeah, 5 million, yeah,
Ouch. But
rising to 7 million.
I know we're not in a great scenario, but we're not anywhere near that, are we?
No, that's the point. Is that actually when it looks at it financially? We are among the most sensible and sustainable of clubs in League One. So this whole panic klaxon, if you're looking at other clubs in our league, they've got a much bigger panic klaxon. And I remember talking to people at Bolton, and they pump loads of money in. They can't afford to not go up. There are clubs like that in our league, and that's what's happening in League One at the moment, because the difference between League One and Championship is huge. And it's I'm saying that I also know that they're really screwed if they go up, because the financial pressures in championships are also farming. So unless football sorts itself out, we are going to be in trouble. We're not going to be as bad as a lot of people, but we're going to be in trouble. And this is where I constantly go back to, where should we be putting our efforts in as a club, right? Because we're just going to come back to the same question time and time and time again until the entire club puts the effort behind financial reform. Right, we had that. We had the two clubs putting forward with their League One salary cap. We should have been all over that. We should have been publicising. We should have been telling all our fans to do it. We should have been like lobbying the whole works and motivating all the other clubs, the 18 clubs in our league that back that, because that's a start in the right direction. And we need to be doing that constantly, because it is the system that's broken. And that's the only thing that's going to help us, is if we fix the system. In my mind, wasting time and effort negotiating down to 50 plus one or whatever isn't going to change it. We're still going to be under massive financial pressure, whatever we do, unless we campaign to fix the problem. And I caveat all of that with that actually we are among the better run clubs who are losing the least amount in our division. We are actually financially far more secure than all the other clubs in our league,
So I
more or
guess,
less. I think there
so
might be
no,
one or two.
I guess the argument would be that these other clubs are losing a ton of money, and they are still currently in a position where the owners of those clubs, who have a lot of money, are continuing to bail them out season after season. And I guess what people would say is
Then we
that
go into
we,
administration each year.
no, I know,
But
but
there'll
then,
be
but what people
different
would
kinds
say
of
to us is
administration.
that some on the opposite side, they would say, well, we're losing, maybe we're not losing as much. But who's going to bail us out for 1.5 million over the next couple of seasons if it isn't us? Like, how are we going to afford
This is where I
that?
go back to the really, really strong argument. I've made this many a time on this pod, is that we need to be in a situation where a bank or a person who's going to loan a football club money at a decent rate feels confident that the system's changing. And at the moment, if I'm a bank, I ain't going to lend any money to a club that's going to lose 10 million a year or 5 million a year. You know, or if you are, you're going to loan it at some ridiculously high interest rate, which is what we've got saddled with, because we happen to be a football club, not because of how we run, but because we happen to be a football club. I totally remember the conversation discussed when I was on the board that we went through a really long process. Our finance team had done a fantastic job presenting to it. And it was almost when we got to the last question being something like, are you a football club? Oh, yes, you are. Well, then you can go away. Because frankly, that's the problem. Until the football system is considered, the football ecosystem is considered something that we could, that is safer to invest in, why would you? So why would anybody who is a, say, a sound investor invest in football when everybody loses money? So
Okay,
until
so
that's tackled, we're going to be struggling with
no,
this.
I get that. I get that. And I agree with all of that. So the question for me again was like, what do we do now when we're looking at
That's the bit
considerable
about the now, Adam.
losses? Yeah.
That's the bit about now. So the now should have been a squad salary cap,
But we,
which would
that's
have been a
not, but
now.
that's not, but that's not happening. So if there's fans out there who
No, well,
say we've got
actually,
this
the EFL
gap,
is
what.
still talking about, the EFL could still implement that. That could still happen. But the EFL is all a bit nervous about it, whereas we should be making a shed load of noise about that,
Okay, but
saying
then
we're
like,
putting back
ding,
Reading,
ding,
putting back Peterborough.
no, but again, I think if
Ding,
let me ask Niall one
ding,
more question, because I
That's
think
not
like
quite enough.
so. Listen, dear listener, we're going to give Adam this one last shout, but an
Thank
actual
you.
fact, or what you can do is you can listen to last week's podcast again. Adam.
No, because we're trying to dig into this, and it's going to take more than one podcast to figure this out, right?
Mate,
He's right.
it's not what it's not one podcast, it's all of our podcasts. Carry on.
No, but okay, so
This
Niall,
triggers
we've
me by
got.
everybody listening back for the whole last few
Yeah.
seasons. Listen to it.
Okay. But so, okay, we've got this gap, we've got this loss that is appearing on our balance sheet, right? And so currently, the Duns Trust board is strongly suggesting that to combat this loss at this point is to increase our investment from outside owners down to 50.1. If that is not what we should do, how do we combat that loss now?
Right. That is about getting a different loan in my opinion, and getting a system that's actually better. If we were getting, and my other point about the other investors coming in to combat those losses each year, are those investors the sort of people that are going to say, I will sign this commitment that I'm going to put £5 million in a year and expect no return? Right? Because that's the investor you want, not an investor who's going to say, I'm going to sell your club for and take, I don't know, 5, 10 million pounds worth to take it down to 50 plus one, because I ain't putting 10 million quid in next year, because that's what you need. It's no point selling it once, because they can't sell it again unless you sell out and don't become a fan-owned club. That's my whole point about getting an investor in. That investor needs to be somebody who's going to be putting that money in year after year after year. And we haven't got, we need to have, those are the sort of people we need to be attracting. Those people who are kind of, you know, in my mind, as I think a lot of football owners are, a bit mad in the head, because frankly, you're going to lose money.
So I guess then the story
Until
comes,
we
I guess
fix
the
the
story
system.
comes back to if it's a loss leading adventure for that persons, they need to buy into the story of Wimbledon and what it means to basically be a loss, to put that money in as a loss leader, to say I'm associated and connected with that club because of all the things it does in the community, because of DLAG, because of this, and I'm prepared to be a, to put my money in to what would be considered a loss leader. And I think we need, as you've said,
5 million a year.
We've got to go straight.
Those are sort of people. But the point being on that is that, again, we go back to what we've talked about many a time, Adam, is that the club haven't sold that line, haven't done that line, because otherwise, why are you investing in Wimbledon? And I just don't get why you invest in Wimbledon unless you buy into that story and the long-term sustainability of football as a whole, because those are the things that need to be fixed. And, that's the argument. That's the pressure I think we need to be putting on.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I think we can quite easily go, like, hello, Mr. Investor, you're wonderful. Are you going to put 10 million quid in next year as well, then? And the year after, and the year after, and the year after. And if you can provide me a guarantee for that, then, yeah, I'm interested.
But I think we need to go hard on this. Last week, I was at a whole thing, which was a workshop by an organisation called Theatre for Life, which is a Southampton-based organisation, where they were basically going through a whole bunch of how you use storytelling to advocate for the work you do. And we have not done enough storytelling of the work we do. Part three, where is it? Where's part three? That story is now, like, we've lost that story. We could have, like...
I think the thing with the part three of the whole story from last season, let's face it, it's from last season, and we're almost, approaching halfway through this season. At some point, people get bored about that. If we end up in a spiral, and then there we're suddenly fighting a relegation battle, which, let's face it, was probably what we thought we would be doing all season anyway. But if that is the case, then all the glory of last season, the playoff final, the sunny day at Wembley and everything else will be completely forgotten. So I think we either, hopefully, have got a lucrative deal, which is going to be announced very quickly, or if they are still holding out for that and they haven't got it, considering how many other deals are around that have been announced, then I'm not sure there's any point in holding out even longer, because what are we holding out for? A hero, as they say, obviously Bonnie Tyler style. But if the hero isn't there with regards to the...
Well, I mean, I think...
Then get it out on DVD, sell it as a Christmas present.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think it's timing. So I can only assume that maybe, it's either they announce there's a deal on that, or you release it for Christmas. Those are the.
Well, we've only got one home game left before Christmas, so it's got to happen PDQ.
Well, I'm not. I'm saying that they probably release it on YouTube. I don't think there's going to be a DVD or anything like that. I'd have thought that it would just be because there's not
streamed, my friend, because nobody actually does those things anymore. Yeah.
So that's what will happen. But it's, I think the other, there's the argument will go back forever. But I think it's really key that we say that despite everything, we know there are some good footballers out there, and there's enough to keep us in the league being fan-owned. We don't want to get ourselves relegated into non-league. I'm saying that on behalf of all the same old Wombles.
The fan-owned squad that we have right now that is paid for by the fan-owned setup we have right now includes a squad good enough to be competitive and stay up in this league.
Yeah, thank you.
I think we've proved that already,
but
we need to keep on proving that.
Yeah,
and there's still, we talk about PTSD in football terms in lots of senses, but there's clearly PTSD from a football perspective because of the Mark Robinson season and that massive run of unwinning run.
Now listen, chaps, I think some ways I was also talking about turning this on its head. I did set you homework on this. I know none of you done it, so it's like so. Rather than saying, why we should be fan owned, let's look and go, well, what would happen if we weren't fan owned? So say, someone came in and they got it. So what would happen? And I've got some things here because I know we're signing off shortly. I promise you, dear listener. But at the moment, a lot of what we do behind the scenes is done by volunteers. So we've got a huge chunk of volunteers who are doing loads of stuff. So the chances are you would lose a lot of those volunteers because they're doing it for the love and for the fact that they know that they're
not
needed.
They will go. They will go.
Never know.
No, people have said that on the various chats. Those volunteers will go.
Sadly, Adam is right.
Yeah, excellent. There you are. So that's the thing. So we lose those volunteers, and that is a lot of in-kind money, which is probably not costed in our budget. We don't show that anywhere. And I think that's the one thing that what we need to do probably in our accounts, we should do this, is not when we to present our accounts, we should show what the in-kind of the volunteers is to our base. Because then you could say, in actual fact, the truth is that we make so much money because we've got all this in-kind stuff that's coming. So you lose the volunteers. You as a supporter, and I say what you like about the DTB, you've got a route in. You've got no way to directly influence your club. There's nothing that you can do as a fan. You can protest, you can phone someone up or whatever, you can lodge a complaint. But here in this club that we have at the moment, we can directly influence what is going on, what direction it's going to take. There's a loss of friendly investment because the chances are people like John Green and his American friends, they're investing because of our story and that fact that we're fan owned. That could go.
But
So
also
that goes.
remember that the bond repayments get triggered to be repaid if we don't are not fan owned. That's what
Yeah,
happens.
so exactly. If we're not fan owned, then you have to pay the whoever comes in and invests has to pay that off straight away. That is part of their thing. Then you get a loss of uniqueness. So the fact that we are, if you look at it, I was actually talking to my daughter just now and saying, people are saying about selling the club, and she goes, "Why? If I look at fan owned, we're the only one that comes up. I mean, despite the fact there's Exeter doing it, we are." Primarily known, that's what it is, and we lose all of that uniqueness, and we become like everything else, losing 5 million a year with someone who has to prop us up, and if they don't like it, then they sell it on, and then they, who knows what happens, and then also what happens is you make fair weather fans out of those people that have been supporting the club, and I know there's a listen. I want to say I do not want to lose any support. People can disagree with me all they like. I want you to remain as a Wimbledon fan. And I think that there are people on the opposite side who might not feel that way about me. Now, if we get, and certainly a few of us on here, but if we become, owned by a big investor, I'm less interested. I might not buy a season ticket. I'll come to the odd game, catch up, have a chat. But, it's be like, it's not. It's
And
not what
again,
I've invested my time in
and
over the last
yeah, and
20 odd years.
again, Matt, there are again a number of people that are saying that if it changes, they will not renew season tickets, they will drift away, etc. And
Yeah.
that obviously includes myself.
Matt, okay,
And
right. Well, we're at.
I'm not saying
If
that
we add
that
all
wouldn't
that
that
up.
people wouldn't come up. I'm not saying that there's not enough. If you're a savvy enough person and you pull the money in or whatever it is, I'm not saying that there isn't a fan base there. But they're going to be temporary ones who come in and watch you. When you're doing well, and
Where I landed.
when you're not doing well, they'll drift away. And you can see that because there's a certain club who play their football 70 miles up the road, who do not have any sort of core base. It's completely gone up. It's completely gone.
So where I'm at with this, Matt, let's for those skeptics amongst the fan base who want to set up, right? So we're talking, we lose all of our volunteers. How much is that costing us a year? A lot of money. We lose a load of people. We lose the kind of people that invest in the club because they see what we stand for, which, right, that's the John Green money. We then talk about the amount of fans that go from being solid season ticket holders to being fair weather fans, and the fair weather fans who like the principle of what the club stands for, that don't go at all, because why would you? That loses the average amount on the gate that goes through. Then you talk about the amount we spend on merchandise. Like, I'm proud to buy Wimbledon merchandise. I probably spend far too much on it. And I know, like, if you look at Adam behind him, he's bought every single shirt that's ever going. There are people like that that just won't have that connection and won't be spending as much money. So we lose money in the bar, we lose money at the merchandise, we lose money at season tickets, we lose money because we've got to pay all our volunteers, and we lose people like John Green. How much does that cost a year? I'm telling you, that's going to add up to around 1 million or 1.2 million. That's how much we lose. And then, not even mentioning what Adam talks about, the bonds. We'll have to pay back all of those bonds,
Yeah.
right? That move to go beyond 50 plus one makes us unsustainable overnight. Screw it. You
Oh
go under
yeah,
50 plus one, it's pointless.
it makes us like every other club. It makes us
Well, actually, no,
makes
because what it does, Matt, is it makes us suddenly have instant financial distress overnight.
Yeah,
And it makes us,
unless,
our budget unsustainable. So it doesn't
but
make us
unless,
like any other club.
no,
It
it
makes
does. I
us
mean,
worse.
no, but in theory, if someone was like a Ryan Reynolds or whatever it is, came in and put 10 million straight into the club, and they said, "That's your money. I'm gifting that to the club. That pays off all the debt and all that sort of stuff."
Why would
And then you
anyone do
invest.
that? Why would
Well,
anyone do that?
because well, why would anyone invest in Wrexham? I mean, you know,
Right. The reason
people
for
do
investing
these
in a club
things.
like that, the reason for investing in a club like that, which is the, if you're going to go down that route, is that if you invest loads of money in a club and you happen to be one of the two or three clubs that gets promoted each year, then you can then sell the club for more money, having got a higher status at a club. That's the model that you have for that sort of a club. You
Is
invest
that
loads
the
of money,
only
certainly
end
in Birmingham
game
City
that
model.
Reynolds and McElhenney have then?
I think they'll flog, but they'll flog a championship side that's fairly sustainable, right? And that's what they, I mean, I actually think the way they've invested in the club is actually rare. They're actually doing right. But like you're talking one club, one person that's potentially doing that. There are loads of other clubs that have been trying to pump money in to try and go up a league and they failed and they've lost loads of money. And that's your Reddings, that's your Southends, that's your Sheffield Wednesdays, that's your Boltons who are in all of those clubs that all suffer because the owners did exactly that. They gambled and didn't pay off. That's what happens to most clubs because only two or three clubs go up each year and a lot of times they go down again. So like it doesn't work. It's not that we need to look at a totally different system. And we benefit hugely financially, and this is the thing, hugely financially by being fan-owned. Because we are losing 1 or 2 million a year, not five. And that's the difference of being a fan-owned club makes.
Well, yeah, and I guess the other argument is the reason we're not losing 5 million is because we're not putting all that money into the squad that the other teams are doing.
Yeah, but then they've not got free volunteers. They've not got a
No.
John Green. They've not got like bonds that are being rolled over. They haven't got like people who are overspending merchandise. They haven't got all of that that we have because we are fan-owned. But all of your points are totally valid.
Exactly. So
I
there you are.
wouldn't, yeah,
So
I wouldn't be buying
what
hundreds
I'm
of
saying,
pounds worth
people.
of new tops every season if we were blooming not
Yeah.
fan owned. I mean,
So
I'm buying none.
what I'm saying, people, is think about what you miss if we're not fan owned. That's the other thing. Oh, and by the way, we're staying in League One. We're not getting relegated. So whoever constantly thinks that that is our raison d'être, it's not all of our thing. Thank you very much. We're quite happy being in League One. Maybe even the Championship. Who knows?
By the way,
Because we are the Super Bumbles.
I've realised what Port Vale's problems are. It would
Yeah.
appear that their chief executive officer is Matt Hancock.
Oi, oi, oi.
I'm guessing it's not the same
Mark.
Matt
No,
Hancock.
that would be
Matt
that'd
Hancock, actually, I've met him. He's actually a really nice bloke, just to put it out
What?
there.
What?
Not
What are you?
the health
Not that Matt
secretary.
Hancock, not a
No, no,
political one.
no. No, the
Yeah.
CEO of Port Vale,
Oh
right?
my
He's actually
goody
a good
aunt.
bloke.
All right, okay. I was going to say, no, dear me, you were stepping on all
Oh,
sorts of territories there.
no.
Woo.
Look, I went in that march to protect the NHS. Look, go.
Oh my giddy aunt. All right. Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to sign off. Oh, and before I sign off, I noticed someone else has signed off. Simon Hood, who stood for the DTB and was on there and has now stood down
Well, he couldn't stand because he's investing in another football club,
because
apparently.
he's now investing in another
Well, he's
football club.
chosen to invest in another football
Yeah.
club. So
Yeah.
surely that should become a to do a Simon Hood.
Yeah. So,
That should be, we should make that a verb.
Yeah, absolutely. Can
to hood.
I mention two quick things?
Of course you can, because I mean,
Things for
I've tried to sign off once, so you can
that's all
have
right then.
these to
Two
carry on.
things for Adam to add to the notes this week on the pod. The first one is there is a very I thought a really touching and actually non-related to football ownership piece at all that was linked on social media from the club today, which
Oh, it's a lovely piece.
is about the gentleman who his name is Luke. He's an army veteran, and he was in the army, obviously being an army veteran. And a lot of fans would notice him if they sit in the capistan because he has a PTSD assistance dog. Now, I didn't know it was a PTSD assistance dog. Larry is his dog, but clearly Luke has gone through in the name of service or the country. He's gone through some specific trauma, and this dog has helped him rebuild his life, as he mentioned. And there's like a three and a half minute piece Which is on Service Dogs UK, at Service Dogs UK on social media, which I would urge people to have a look at because it's just a really sweet, straightforward piece. And if anyone's in a position to be able to obviously make any contributions towards that as a charity, then go ahead and do so. Talking of charities, the only other link I was going to make is this is the final week in which I am completely crazily choosing to do the whole Movember thing. As you may well have noticed, I am still growing this rather strange Mexican type thing. In terms of facial hair. So if Adam can put the link on there as well, for anyone who's in a position of whatever smaller or more generous donation that they're in a position to be able to contribute towards Movember and the mental health charities that that raises money for, then I'd be very grateful. I will be clean shaven from the beginning of next week. But as of now, I'm still growing the facial hair and it's particularly annoying. I don't quite know how you two managed to put up with general facial hair on a full-time basis because, frankly, I'm more than bored with it already.
You get used to it. I've heard that same from Zav, but you know, it just you, it's a it, you get you grow through it, Mark. You
I'd
grow
love to
through
have
it.
a conversation with your respective wives
Yeah,
as to how particularly
yeah.
impressed they are about facial hair, but that's another story entirely.
Love it, man.
It
But
sucks. You wouldn't do it.
yeah,
Never have. Won't do it.
So please support Movember. Please check me out, Mark Lewis. I'm on the Movember website. Any contributions towards the target I'm aiming for a couple of hundred quid in the next week or so would be gratefully appreciated.
And
Thank you.
also go for the We Are Wimbledon Fund as well, which a man with the buttons is fronting. So and that will help with the squad. So if you want to help with the squad, get involved in that, my friends. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you to my friend Al Cooper,
Thank you, man.
to a man with the buttons, Dr. Professor Adam Proctor, to the man with the football knowledge and the very wonderful moustache. To Mark Lewis.
Thank you, Matt.
I'm Matt Cooper. We're the same world Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth.